Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
The Growing in Grace podcast with Mike and Joel. I'm Mike. He's Joel. Please, I ask one thing and one thing only. Know the difference.
Why? I want everybody to think that I'm you.
Yeah, I know. I know you do.
Yeah, everybody should be you.
That's one of those things that you've always wanted to be a doer of.
A doer
of the cap.
I want to do exactly what Cap does, and then I will be righteous and clean and holy.
I think not.
Well, it's all about doing, isn't it?
Yes,
it's all about doing.
I mean, I don't want to turn you into a Cubs fan, number one, because that's just not who you are. I'm not going to try and make you do something that's not you.
That would not be natural, and that would be torture. You know, but I do. Mm. I do speak in grace. You know, we got a mutual friend, Mary, on Facebook, and we know her in real life. And she posted something about your precious Cubbies the other day. That she will post things when the Cubs win. She'll post the W, or she'll post Cubs win today, or whatever. And she said that some people, Cubs fans, had been kind of getting on her. Yeah, we know when the Cubs win, you don't need to do that. So she was going to stop posting about that. And even as the enemy of the Cubs that I am, a Cardinals fan, I was like, don't let other people do it. Because I know that you're not trying to, you know, what she was doing. She's a fan of a team. And she enjoys posting stuff like that. And that's, I'm like, I can skim over it because it doesn't excite me. But it's, I think, anyway, this has nothing to do with what we're talking about. But I just think that, you know, having some grace toward people when they are doing things that you're not interested in or whatever, just scroll on by. Don't worry about it, man.
She's looking to interact with other fans that are like her.
Right, exactly. Because I think other people were saying she's trying to tell people that the Cubs won. A true Cubs fan would already know that they won. Well, maybe they will, maybe they won't, but that's not her point. That's not why she was doing it. She was like wanting, like you said, interacting with other like-minded people.
You know, it's even like something happened in the news, or maybe somebody famous died and somebody posts it. You may have already heard about it on the news, but maybe they're just looking for interaction,
right?
You know, a form of fellowship, really.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah. All of that from that, again, nothing to do with anything we're talking about here, but I think maybe the takeaway is just show grace toward people, even if they're not necessarily like-minded, and it's okay. And I know, mm-hmm. I know that there are some people who are not like-minded with the things we've been talking about here lately, and that's okay. We've said that many times, but we do hope that we're sharing a good perspective that you can at least consider. And if you fully and outrightly reject it, that's fine. But if we share some points in our series here about being a doer of the word, then that's great. You know, our mission here is to, like I said a week or two ago, to edify people, to build people up, and that's just what we're trying to do here, and that's what we're doing here on this podcast. See, there's nothing wrong with being a doer. Doing is a good thing, but there's context in what James is saying, and we're bringing out some of that. And last week we were talking about how, you know, well, James had said, he was talking about the perfect law of liberty, the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty and perseveres, being no hearer, but who forgets. You know, you don't want to be a hearer who forgets, but you want to be a doer who acts. But what's he talking about when he's talking about being a doer of the word? I think it's interesting that he says, receive the implanted word, which is able to save your souls, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. And I know I have thought something in the past, and I know that there are other people who are mostly like-minded grace believers like us who would say, well, a doer of the word that's able to save your souls, well, they will go to John 6, where people ask Jesus, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." And of course, that is the truth. You know, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. And that will save your souls. That is able to save a person when you believe in him. And so we will take what Jesus said there and implant it into what James is saying, ignoring the context of all that James is saying here. I don't believe, be doers of the word. Well, what does it mean to be a doer of the word? Well, Jesus said it's believe. But when you look at everything else that James says here, that's not what James is saying here. So yes, what Jesus said was absolutely, positively, completely, 100% true, that, you know, what must we do that we may do the works of God? Well, the work of God is this: believe in the one whom he sent. That's absolutely true. But when James says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves, he is talking about doing works. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, and he goes on to talk, and I know you have a few thoughts on this, that he's talking about works here. He's not talking about belief. He's not talking about faith. He talks about faith a little bit later, but in chapter 2, but then he mixes faith with works. So, yeah, we'll get into some of that this week.
Yeah, and as we pointed out last week, I'll try to say it again, maybe a little differently, verse 25. Again, a big crux of what we're talking about here, James 1, 20 through 25. He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. So you got to be familiar with something to keep doing it, right? You're looking at something. It's something you can see, hear, touch, and do, this perfect law of liberty. Don't be a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what they do. It's just do here, one thing after the other. And that perfect law of liberty, what could it possibly be when you're writing to Jewish believers in Christ from the 12 tribes of Israel? He's going to continue going on to explain what the perfect law of liberty is. And so maybe we can jump into that here in chapter 2. We're not doing a verse-by-verse right thing here for the sake of time, but we did want to continue on in the context of what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks and try and piece this together here, Joel, so that maybe some people can begin to see that there's, you know, that the thing about the Bible that I found out is that sometimes we get so focused on the verses that we're staring at the pixels and missing the picture.
Right.
There's a bigger picture to see here within this New Testament that we call the New Testament writings. There's a bigger picture, but we got to back away from the pixels in order to be able to see it.
Exactly. So that's why I think it's important, you know, when people used to ask me about James, you know, because I would say that salvation is by grace through faith apart from works. And, well, what about James? James says it's faith plus works. A man is justified by works and not by faith only, and faith without works is dead. And it's just so easy to just jump to those verses. It's just so easy to jump to the verse, be doers of the word, without looking into the whole thing. So I used to read James front to back, and again, I would try to fit grace into it. That's what I was trying to do, because I thought it's got to, you know, it's in the Bible, so it's got to have grace. But then eventually, as we shared 2 or 3 years ago on our James and Paul series, we began seeing this differently, and it's okay. It's okay, because what this is doing is it's showing the struggle in the early church. Those early years of the church, there were actually people, and it's shown there in Acts 15 and in Acts 21 and in other places, that there were Jewish people who believed that in order to be saved, you had to not only believe in Jesus, but you had to keep the law of Moses. And we see evidence that James was one of those people. And this letter, this epistle of James, again, if we're trying to make it a grace epistle, then we'll take verses here and verses there and fit our own preconceived thoughts into it. But if we look at what James is actually saying, then I think a different picture is painted. And so we've gone over James 1, and like you say, we're not doing verse by verse here. There's some important things that James says in the first few verses of chapter 2. I don't know if you want to touch on any of that, but I know that in light of everything that he says in chapter 1, the perfect law of liberty, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, you know, be doers of the word. And what he's talking about when he talks about the word and when he talks about the law of liberty in verse 8 of chapter 2, again, the thought all along that he's been going with from chapter 1 is continuing. Again, there's context. I'm not just jumping into this verse, but it's part of all that we've already brought up about what James has said about all this. And so he says, if you really fulfill the royal law, so there's another time where he brings up a law, the royal law, according to the scripture. So what is he talking about when he says the royal law? Well, he says, in quotes, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If you do that, you are doing well. And I should say, those first 7 verses of chapter 2, he's actually talking about that, doing good toward other people. I didn't want to get into the whole thing there, but that's the gist of what he's talking about there, not dishonoring people, honoring people and that type of thing. But if you do this, fulfill the royal law, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing well. But if you show partiality, you're committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it, or has become guilty of all. And I know, again, as grace people, and my hand is up here, guilty as charged, I would jump to this verse. And it's not that what James is saying is wrong here, actually, but whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all. That's true. Paul says a very similar thing. If you're going to do the law, you have to do the whole thing. You know, the man who does the law shall live by it. He says other similar things. But again, we're keeping in the context of all that James is saying here. So what law is he talking about? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Well, that's part of the old covenant law. And if you do that, you're doing well. But if you show partiality, you're committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point is guilty of all. And he talks about the same person that said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. And if you do those things, you're transgressors of the law. So speak. And so here's the thing. So what law is he talking about? He's talking about the law of Moses. Verse 12, so speak and act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. So speak and act as those who are judged by the law of liberty. So he never changes what he means when he's talking about the law. I believe, in James' mind, that he believed that the law of Moses was a law of liberty. And that if you do it, you're doing well. If you do it, it's able to save your souls. If you do it, in verse 25 of chapter 1, if you do it and persevere, you'll be blessed in your doing. I don't think he has changed what he's talking about there. But as grace people, we've come in and we've tried to make this a grace epistle. And I think that it just doesn't add up when I look at it all.
The whole context here, the royal law that you referred to in verse 8, love your neighbor as yourself. If you do that, you're doing well. Well, that's nobody's ever been able to do that.
Right.
We've done programs on that, so I don't want to hash that too much. But that's still part of the law. We don't live by that. We live by a new law of love. So, we've done programs on that. But going down where he brings up the law of liberty again, this entire thing, this whole passage, going back to chapter 1 and all through here chapter 2, it's the same topic. It's the same theme, the same subject matter. So verse 12, speak and do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. Do that because of the things he said before that, mm-hmm. referring to the royal law, keeping the whole law. Now, what's interesting, you know, Paul in Galatians chapter 5, Paul was writing to these people who were falling into, and a lot of these people were Gentiles, but they were falling into this trap of being sucked into law keeping, even though they weren't even Jewish. But he's saying that, you know, if you're going to accept circumcision or really anything from the law, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You keep one law, whether, you know, circumcision in this case, then you got to keep the whole thing. You see, it was a package deal. And so we think James is saying the exact same thing that Paul was saying when he says in verse 10, whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. As you said, Joel, this proves to be a true statement. The difference in the context is that James is encouraging and coaxing his readers to follow the law.
Yes.
To keep the law, to try to attain to righteousness through the law, not by faith only, which we'll get to here in just a minute. Whereas Paul was telling people, you're going the wrong direction here. You're falling from grace. If you're going to try to keep any of the law, you need to keep the whole thing. They were coming from different directions, even though they kind of made similar statements. So, and I just find it interesting, too, that the examples he gives here in verse 11, do not commit adultery. You know this law. Don't commit adultery. So he's talking about the same law, right? The same law as love your neighbor as yourself. Don't murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, these are strange examples to me, you become a transgressor of that law. So speak and do as those who will be judged by this law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. But he goes on, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? He will go on to say no. And this is a rhetorical question. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute, in need of food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things that are needed for the body, what is a profit? Thus, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Faith without works is dead. And then he goes on to an example of Abraham, which conflicts with something that Paul said in Romans 4. But the thing I wanted to point out here too, Joel, is verse 22 of chapter 2. Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect. This he takes Abraham completely out of context from what Paul did in Romans 4. But the thing I wanted to point out about this comment that James made in 2:22 is the precise opposite of what Paul said when he was writing to the Galatians in chapter 3. Remember that one? Galatians 3. Let me get there. I'm skipping around here in real time. Who has bewitched you, you foolish Galatians? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you this. Did you receive the Spirit by works, the Holy Spirit, by works of the law, or by the hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now being perfected by the flesh, or are you now being perfected by what you do? Well, according to James, you are. And so this whole passage here is based on doing and the old law that we sometimes want to interpret, whether it's called the royal law, like James called it, or the law of liberty, as James called it. He's still talking about the same law. It's a law of works. And he viewed it as most Jews at that time did, even believing Jews in Christ. They believed that it was a part of the salvation package in conjunction with faith in Christ.
Well, yeah, and as we just wrap up this episode today, just as you had mentioned Romans 4, and I had that opened, and there's more to say on this, but what James said was that, you know, faith without works is dead. Faith works together with works. And Paul did indeed say the opposite in Romans 4:4. Now to him who works, you know, who does works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. So it's not grace if you have to add works to it. It's a debt that God owes. But, verse 5, to him who does not work. So works were not added to faith, and works were not working together with faith. But he says, to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. So more on that next week right here on Growing in Grace.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brzezicki, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.